Listen, next Sunday, everybody just text me during the church news. Oh, there's no bumper? Okay, for next week. We don't care about next week, Malia? What's going on? All right, how many of you love Jesus? Okay. All right, come on, one more time. How many of you love Jesus today? Okay. I'm going to have you, as I do often, I'm going to have you go ahead and stand up one more time. I know you just sat down, but I want to pray today. And we're going to ask the Lord to speak to us. Okay, so today is a very special day. And, you know, we're going to take an offering at the end of the service. Let me get this out just right at the beginning that, you know, if you're visiting today, we don't want you to feel like, you know, you have to give in the offering. This is not a pressure thing. This is something that our church does every year that helps us to do ministry that is above and beyond what comes in the tithe, in the month-to-month budget. And so we're going to do that. And, you know, I always say that. Then, you know, 2 weeks ago, I said that about today. And some guy came up and was like, I mean, honestly, he's like, you know, when you said, he was a visitor, he'd never been here before, it hasn't been back. He said, I'm going to give in the offering, but I almost didn't give when you told me not to. So I regret that in a very sincere way. But if you're visiting today, you've, especially if you've been around church, like you get this, you understand this, nothing new for you. But we're going to take an offering, and this allows us to really pray and believe and to do some things this year. Now, I've been preaching for 4 weeks on giving. There's really nothing else I can say this year. You know, it's interesting. As you know, during the first service worship and the second service worship, God started to speak to me about next year's heart for the house. So 12 months in advance. And the reason was because I'm so convinced of what he's going to do this year, that next year we're going to be able to have an incredible day of just testimonies from what this year did. And honestly, I was writing things down. I was taking notes. I was taking pictures of all you people. So it's good. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll jump into it. And I just believe that the Lord's going to speak to us today. And honestly, even if you're not giving in the offering today, my prayer is that God does speak to you in some way, right? Because what's most important is not the offering. What's most important is what God is doing inside of you today. Like, forget the offering. God's doing something in you. He's doing something through you. He's drawing near to you right now. Some of you have been away from God for a long time, and the Lord is drawing near to you. He wants you to hear his voice and wants you to know that he loves you. Father, today, everyone say today. Father, today in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you by your grace, your love and your unconditional grace. The fact that you love us despite us. And Jesus, you came 2,023 years ago. You died on the cross for our sins. I'm just so grateful today as I think back over my life and the sacrifice that you made. Lord, your grace is incredible. It's amazing. And today we pray that you would bless this house. We pray that you would bless the church. We pray, Father, you would bless every individual, every couple, every family, every child. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives. And I pray that you would draw near to us today, that you draw near to us. So regardless of what the sermon is on, your spirit is here and your spirit is drawing near to me, near to us, closer. I feel you closer now than I did yesterday. And I pray, Lord, that you would love us and speak to us and make your presence known to us. I think there's some people here, the Lord wants you to know that his presence is here with you today, and you're sensing him, some for the first time, some in a long time. So Lord, bless the house today. I also pray that you'd bless every church in the Denver metro area. I pray that you'd bless every congregation, every church, every pastor, whether they're in a strip mall, whether they're in a building or in a house today. I pray that you would bless every church. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that is being poured out on them and our city. Pray you'd open our hearts and our minds today, Jesus. We give you everything. We love you. And we declare today that you are first. You're in our first place, in the first place of our hearts. And we give you the glory. We give you the honor and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people shouted, amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Okay, can you do that for me? And you can be seated. And it's good to see you. Man, what a great day today it's already been. Okay, so I'm gonna not preach quite as long today, so I won't preach more than an hour, hour 20. Just joking. But I wanna just say, first of all, thank you. I wanna say thank you to everyone. So many of you both in both services and other areas, other services in the church, people have already begun to give in Heart for the House, and we're already, you know, like next week, I know what's gonna happen. We're gonna show up in the office and we're gonna start spending the money. We're gonna start giving it away. Only thing I can promise you is that everything that comes in today gets given away. That's what I can promise you. It either goes into fixing things or it gets given away. So thank you very much. And thank you for all the finances that came in last year. I think that we have a lot to be grateful for. I really do. And I think over the last couple of weeks, the Lord has been really speaking to me about peace. And I have a real peace for what I believe God's gonna do this year. And even for today and for the offering, you know, when you're a pastor and you have to raise money during the year and you preach on finances and you hope that people catch the spirit, you know, you hope that people kind of jump in and that they learn some theology and they learn some doctrine and they figure out where finances fit in the economy of God, where your economy fits in the economy of God. But there's a certain point to where you've preached everything you can preach, and then all of us together, we just need to be really grateful for what God does and just let God do the rest, right? We do what we can do, and then we let God do what only God can do. And I really believe that for today. Today I'm gonna do a message, and the title of the message is Everything. Can you say everything for me? Everything. So everything, Jesus is everything to us. What his kingdom is everything. He owns everything. We're stewards of, I caught you. I knew I'd catch. We're stewards of everything. God owns everything, and we're stewards of everything. And I think that as I approach this today, I think that I have a sense of gratefulness and humility. So let me give you a couple of thoughts. First of all, this last week, as I was coming towards today, I had what I call a profound sense of humility. And humility is a really important trait that we all have to have, but I'm just gonna be really honest with you. Like, I would rather spend time with humble people than famous people. I'd rather spend time with grateful people than powerful people. And Donna and I have known both. And there are times when we're with whoever, you know, I can be speaking somewhere at a conference and I look over and the people next to me are like pretty much, I was gonna say more well-known than I am, but the truth is like nobody knows me at all. So, you know, I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. There's just certain times where I'm like, I would rather spend time with humble people and grateful people than any other people in the world. And I think that over time, things like humility and gratefulness, they mean a lot more to you over time. So I want to read a verse to you today. This comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And it has to do with humility and gratefulness. Over the years, I think you become more humble. That's, you know, the goal is that you become more humble over time and not less humble. Can I hear an amen, right? So we want to become more humble. And I know that gratefulness and humility are a little tricky when you're a teenager. Like, because you can be humble and you can be grateful, but you haven't lived yet. I'm telling you, there's nothing like life to humble you. There's nothing like life to make you grateful for what you have. And I think that when you're in your teenage years, you're just starting the journey, right? And you're grateful for your mom and dad's money because you don't have yours. And that's where it begins. And then when you're in your 20s and you're in college perhaps, or you're preparing for a career or a job, everything is so new still. It's all new. You're a young adult and you don't know really where you're going. That's okay. You don't know where you're gonna live. That's okay. You don't know if you like anybody. That's okay. It's like junior high all over again. Do you like me? Check the box. You know, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you're in your 20s, but you're not a kid anymore and you're growing. But you still are in the season of learning and becoming humble. And also when you're in your 20s, you're kind of in that season where you're the strongest and where you have the most passion and the most vision and you want to build something. And then you get into your 30s and you begin to build on what you were dreaming in your 20s. And the difference is that when you're in your teen years, a bill might be $10 or $20. Or $50. When you're in your 20s, a bill, you know, might be hundreds of dollars. And then something shifts in your 30s because bills now come in the thousands. In the thousands. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you go, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Like, this must be somebody else's bill. And somebody else, like, so I got the wrong mail today. You know what I mean? Somebody sent me the wrong email. And all of a sudden, there's something that happens in your 30s where you begin to become really humble and really grateful. And here's the problem, that in your 30s, sometimes in your 30s, you begin to feel or sense or taste a little bit of success. And when you're fighting for it when you're young, and then it comes to you, starts in your 30s, all of a sudden we start to think that we deserve it. Or that we own it, or that it's because of ours. And up in the universe is this God that just sort of hovers, like he said in Genesis, he hovers over the face of the earth, and it's form, you had nothing. And then he begins to shape it, and we begin to, in our 30s, I think sometimes begin to move away from God because we're having success, and we're fulfilling our dreams, but it really was God who created you and gave you the ability to have the dream in the first place, because your dream and your gifting are gonna match. God won't give you dreams that your gifting wasn't meant to ever pursue. People who have dreams that aren't gifted to do it are delusional. I just want that to land. People who have dreams and visions, like if you want to be a singer, here I go again, sorry worship team, you want to be a singer but you're tone deaf. You know what I mean? It's like people come in and I want to lead worship and I just say, sing right now. Sing right now. And then people are running out of the office. They're diving out the doors. It's because you're so bad. And then in your 30s, we begin to depart. And what happens when we depart is we begin to forget. In our 30s, we begin to have distance in our lives with God because we're not a kid anymore. We're a full adult, but we haven't accomplished everything, but we're in the middle of accomplishing it. And so in our 30s, we begin to separate from God because we think it's our own strength and our own intellect. And then you get into the 40s. And when you get in your 40s, you start to sort of receive. You start to sit back a little bit. You get in your mid, late 40s and you're like, okay, now my 20s and 30s are paying off. You know, all of a sudden I get to take that vacation I couldn't afford before, or maybe we get to buy a car and I don't have to have a college car anymore. Some of you had college cars that were great. All of our college cars had names based on how bad they were, right? Donna's college car, we called it Satan car. I wanna tell you why, I wanna clarify this. Because it was a tiny little brown car, the worst brown ever, by the way, and it was the smallest car that Toyota ever made. They only made it for 2 years because it was so unsafe. And I could sit in the middle of the two front seats, reach out the windows and open and close both doors. That's how small the car was. And the license plate said SYS666. So I called it Satan's car. It was system 666. And this is funny that Donna was driving it everywhere she went, you know? And so, but you get into your 40s and you're like, man, I get to get that other car. And then you begin to sit back and receive. And what happens when you get into the receiving, I get to like take in what God has done. I start to, you know, I don't have to work. I get to have some other things going on in my life, perhaps. All of a sudden you begin to lose purpose. Because what happens is you have to remember that even though your retirement account might level out in your 40s and you might be, okay, I'm gonna be okay. That doesn't mean that God's purpose levels out in your 40s. And you get to go, I'm okay now. God can do his thing and I'm just gonna give in the offering. That's why the Bible talks about don't just give in the offering. We give our lives. We give our time. We give our talent. We give our treasure. We give back to God because he owns everything, right? And then you get into your 50s. And in your 50s, something happens. In your 50s, you start to think about your teen years and your 20s and your 30s and your 40s. And you realize now that I'm looking at a different season of my life. I've hit the midway point, maybe a little more than that, and I'm going, okay, now everything means something to me. Everything is meaningful to me. Every relationship is meaningful to me. Everything that happens in the church is meaningful to me because I'm valuing everything. It's in your 50s that you begin to understand value. And so, but when you get into your 60s and 70s, and I'm praying that this doesn't happen in our 60s and 70s. I hope it happens to the teenagers in the 20s and 30s. But if we can remember that God owns everything, and that we're stewards, and that we have purpose in our life and mission in our life, and we get to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, and that the part that we play sometimes is not as important as the thing that we're a part of, and we realize that, Lord, I'll play any part you want me to play if I can just be a part of the kingdom and do what you're calling me to do, then in your 50s, the sense of humility genuinely begins to descend on your life. The gratefulness, you begin to understand it. But my prayer is that we can understand it all the way through our life, because if we can land there in the beginning and live there, our journey and what we can do for God and how we can be a part of his kingdom, it's multiplied, it's exponential. Because junior high, I know you're here, junior high does not mean junior anointing. Come on, somebody. That means that when you're young, you can pray, you can prophesy, you can build, you can teach, you can preach, and you don't have to wait until you're in your 20s or 30s, right? But humility, it takes humility, because it's a lack of humility that causes us over life to find distance with God. Because I did this myself. And now everything that I've built, it's all for me. And that's the American Western mindset, and it's very destructive. And I'm gonna read this verse to you. In 2 Chronicles 29, everything, say everything. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours, O Lord. Wealth and honor come from you. And you are the ruler of all things. In your hands, everyone say hand. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. So these are the things that are in God's realm. Heaven is in your realm. Earth is in your realm. All the money in the world is in your realm. Honor comes from you. It doesn't come like God honors me. He loves me. He respects me because I'm a child of God. Not because of anything that I've done. Not because of an accolade. Not because of a race that I've won or a company that I've built. God loves me for who I am because he created me. I'm the greatest thing. You're the greatest thing that God will ever do on this planet, is to put you on the earth and breathe life into you and to give you giftings and talents and abilities and dreams and visions to do things that are bigger than who you are. That's who God is. It's God who exalts. It's God who gives strength to all. Now look at this. God, we give you thanks and praise to your glorious name. It's all about him. And I love this because I read this week and I was thinking about all the things that God has done and accomplished through our church. And I don't, very honestly, I don't think that we're not that good. Like, God has done things that we don't have the ability to do it. And I guess that's how I know it's God. But he goes on to say, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? It's blown me away, the things that we've been able to accomplish, because it's not us. You know, I just think that there, and it's an old cliche, it really is, but if everything that you're trying to accomplish you can do, it may not be God. God might have something for you that's just beyond like your ability, just beyond your gift, just beyond your dream, just beyond like your talent. He has something that's just a little bit farther out there that really gives him glory in the end. And I think we need to live there. Who am I and who are these people that we could give as generously as this? Because everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. Only what comes from your hand. We're giving you only what comes from your hand. And the reality, and I've been thinking about the next generation. I've been thinking about like things in the church that I think have to be really cultivated in the next generation. built, I'm trying to find the right word, built, cultivated, prophesied, prayed for, because there are things that are so basic to the kingdom of God. But as we go forward in time, if we get more distant, I think the world is getting more distant from God. As we get more distant, we're losing some things. An example would be worship. How many of you love worship? My gosh, I'm telling you, worship today, it was so good. But it wasn't them. They're part of it, their talents and their giftings. But the presence of God, the presence of Jesus was here. Like, he was here and you felt him. And we need to train the next generation about presence. Presence over gift, presence over talent, presence over your abilities or intellect, presence of Jesus. In the book of Exodus and all through the Old Testament, all they cared about is that God went with them. Okay, I'll go into slavery, are you with me? I'll go through the desert, but are you with me? I'll cross over the river and we're being chased, but are you with me? It's all about the presence of Jesus. Another one is giving, or local church. And how important is the church? We've got to defend it. We've got to talk about it, pray for it for the next generation. But giving is really important, because giving, yes, in the New Testament, probably taught and referred to in some way in the New Testament more than any other subject in every book of the Bible. There's literally no question about that, because God is always a step ahead of us. There's nothing that tests our heart more than our money. And so God's constantly dealing with it and walking us through it. And I believe that the next generation, we need to understand that God, if he owns everything and he gives it to us, all we're giving back in our offerings is we're giving back what already belongs to him. And it says, oh, my heart's still with you. I know you give me everything, but I'm not going to sit around and just thank you for it. And I'm going to give back, and we're going to build the kingdom, and we're going to help the church go just a little farther than the church can go. And we're going to stretch a little bit, and we're going to push out the walls a little bit, and we're going to make something happen in the spirit. Because remember, last week we talked about realms. There's two different realms, and the Bible talks about how we see in the natural and we see in the spiritual. And I talked about how if you're an athlete, and remember, I was a pitcher when I was young, I was a pitcher in baseball, and my coach told me from the time I was like in Little League, first starting, that the ball will go to where your eyes are looking. And so if you're in the natural, because we're natural people, if your eyes are focused on the natural, you can only produce the natural. Even the most gifted, even the most talented, even the people who you're like, oh my gosh, look at all that they have. Look what they've done. Do you understand how that could be multiplied if they took their eyes off of the natural and what they could do, and they were to look up into the supernatural, and they were to go, God, you can do more than I can do. So take what I've done and multiply that, because God's bigger than we are. We have to focus our eyes on the supernatural if we're going to get supernatural results. God loves you, man. He created you. He gave you gifts. He gave you talents. He gave you abilities. But those are only multiplied when God's hand is on them. And so, you know, this week, I had a great week, okay? I had a great week. It was one of those weeks where just everything was good. You know, everything made me happy this week. Now, we've all had the other weeks. Have you ever had another week? If you've ever had the other week, say, help me, Jesus. Maybe some of you had one this week, but I had a good week, because everywhere that I went this week, starting last Saturday night, I think, everything was like a testimony for me on what God's doing in the house and what Heart for the House is doing for the church. I had a good, happy week. So I want to tell you about my week, what I experienced this week. So I'm just gonna list a few things out. So, and they're not in order. I was just throwing them on here. I was gonna say I was just putting them on paper, but that's how you know I'm in my 50s. Okay, you don't use paper anymore. Anyways, I got to have interactions this week with three different connect groups, three different devote groups. Just randomly, I got to speak at two of them, and then one of them was just another one I was around and having conversations. But I got to meet new people. I got to meet people who have been in the church for a long time that I haven't met yet. I got to meet people who are brand new. I got to meet 10 people this week, about 10 people who are brand new in the church. And then I also got to embarrass myself this week by introducing myself for the first time to people that I've introduced myself to for 5 years. And you got to understand, there's 800, 1,000 people. I'm just trying to, and sometimes I forget, and I'm really good with faces, but not with names. You know what I mean? Some of you are like that. Like even this morning, there was two separate families walking in. You know who y'all are. I was so worried when I went up to greet you because I was like, if I say good to see you again, I may have never seen you before. And if I say, hey, nice to meet you for the first time, you're going to say, well, Pastor, we've been here for 2 years, but it's really nice that you remembered us, you know? But I got to meet new people. And for us, and that's massive for us to meet new people every day. I had time with the youth pastor who also happens to be my daughter just for a few minutes last week. Just for a few minutes to dream a little bit about the new worship center for the youth. She's like, can we knock that wall out? Can we put this over here? Can you ask the church for more money? You know, that's always what everybody does. You know, can we take it from 50 seats to 100 seats? Can we have 100 seats in our new auditorium downstairs? And can I put some, you know, I want this to be a home for the youth. I want them to come in every week and feel like they can hang out here. And I got to dream a little bit about the new youth center, which is going to happen because Heart for the House is going to pay for it. I also, last week, got to be a part of a dinner with over 100 business professional and entrepreneurs in the church in our ministry called Spheres that Elliot and Malia lead. And it was amazing, you guys. Just to be there with people who want to be prayed for, want to be trained, they want to be encouraged, they want to be inspired about what they can do, not just through their businesses, but through their businesses for the kingdom. You know, and I just thought I was really blessed to be a part of that. And so thank you. If you were there, I love you all so much. That was a highlight for me. I also had the opportunity this week to sit in our staff devotions every single Tuesday. At 9 a.m, we meet in our devotion room with our staff, and I got to sit there for 2 hours, and we got to worship together, we got to read the Bible together, and then they all testified, and they got to give me the win. So every week we do the wins. You know, what was the win from last week? They were talking about all the new people are in ministry and things that they're building, and everybody, you know, people were starting to cry, and we're talking, like, for me, there's nothing better than just listening to all of the people talk about what's happening in the church. I mean, you guys, this is my highlight. This was my whole week. And then my assistant, Danielle, and her husband, Kyle, they got to, last week, and they got to spend a couple of days just hanging out with all the middle school students. Isn't that incredible? They got to do a retreat with them, and I told them that all of you have now decided everybody's going to be on their team for middle school. If you really want to be large in the kingdom of God, you got to serve in junior high. That's kind of how, I know it says that in Genesis somewhere. But we got to sew and give some money so that they could have a weekend of just parties with all the middle school kids. And then I got to loan my daughter my car for about the 35th time so that her and the youth leaders could have a four-wheel drive so they could go to the mountains with all the teenagers who are here today. And they got to have a retreat. And I'm so proud of them. And we got to take care of them up at the retreat and do some things up at the mountain house that the church owns, that the church built a long time ago. I got to dream this week with a couple of new pastors about what kind of church that they want to build in the city. Because we're going to sow into their churches because we're not competitive. Remember, I said this last week, I think one of the most destructive kingdom characteristics in the church is competition. Yeah. And so we give and we sow. One of them said, I said, what kind of church do you want to build? And they always ask me, well, what kind of church do you think we should? What kind of church does Denver need? And I always give them the same answer. I say, look, churches in a city are like Baskin and Robbins, right? There's 31 flavors. Find your flavor. We need every flavor because the key to a city is more churches, not fewer. Like we need more churches planted, not less. Like we need to sow into more churches and help more. And they're like, well, what flavor are you, Pastor Doug? And then I always try to figure out, okay, can I make a joke? Can I make them laugh? How to decide this week? I said, and I picked my favorite flavor. I said, I think our church is Rocky Road. You got a lot of chocolate, a few marshmallows, and a few nuts. And I said, if you can build this kind of church, because we need that kind of church, you know? Our kind of church is the church that God's called us to build. And not everybody will build that. I also got a report from Pastor Tasha and from Graham that from our welcome parties, that's all the new people in the church that come to meet us, that in the last couple of parties, that 70% of all the people that came to our last two parties have continued to stay in the church in the last couple of months. So we've grown by 70% from those. Yeah, it's amazing. And some of you are here today, and I love you, and I still haven't met everybody. And I got to have a stewardship meeting this week to talk about how we as a church can make sure that we're spending our money in a way that we're in alignment with our values. And because if a church spends money that's not in alignment with their values, then they're not building according to who God's called them to build. We have values. There's things that God has spoken to us that we're gonna do with Heart for the House. Not everybody's gonna do it. But we wanna make sure that we're doing it in a way that's good stewardship, but in alignment with our values. This week, yesterday, I got to come up here. I was actually juggling a couple of different meetings, but there was about 50 or 60 people up here yesterday stuffing Thanksgiving boxes and then driving them to people's houses so that they can have, we're gonna pay for their Thanksgiving dinners this week. And I got a brand new report just a few minutes ago before I came up that this week we're feeding 1,100 people Thanksgiving dinner this week. And I'm just so proud of you. We got to talk about the pearls of hope. Is this okay? Can I tell you these things? I mean, to me, this is what we do. Come on, people, this is the church. We got to talk about pearls of hope and how when people are going through cancer treatments, they get a gift from us that is designed for somebody who has cancer and is going through chemo. It's designed for them. Things that minister to them spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Special balms for their lips, special things for their body because of what happens to their body. And we have literally, we have piles of thank you notes and emails saying thank you. And even my pastor who passed away, one of my pastors who passed away, his wife was here last week, my first pastor. When I went to visit him before he passed, he was carrying around the Pearls of Hope backpack because everybody who gets one, they get a backpack filled with stuff. And everywhere we went, he had this Pearls of Hope backpack back in Oregon. So his wife turns to me and says, hey, I want you to know, he's not carrying that backpack around because you're here. He's been carrying it around for a year and a half everywhere that he goes because that gift gives him hope. And so we sat there and I'm just crying, looking at our backpack in a restaurant and he's telling me his story. And I could go on and on, you guys. I could go on forever. But the point is that this week I have found myself in a profound sense of humility, that we could not have done any of that without God. And I could talk for another 20 minutes. I could list for you all the people and the missionaries and the works and the buildings and things that we've been in, but we couldn't have done any of it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? All right, I'm gonna give you two more quick thoughts. Number two, I've had an uncommon awareness of who the provider is this week. So like I just said, I realize that there is a difference between like knowing God, knowing that there is a God, and knowing the God who's doing it. Because Deuteronomy 18, which you've read before, it says, remember the Lord your God, it's him that gives you, it's him, and it's he who gives you and me the ability to produce the wealth that we have in America, like it's him. And it's one thing to go, I know God, but I want to know him. Because if I know him, I know that he knows me perfectly, right? So God made me, created me. There's a blueprint in heaven with my name on it. He knows me. If I know him, the more I know him, I know he knows me perfectly. So that means that he is the one who is perfect in helping me to become all that I was called and designed to be. And if I'm all that I'm designed to be, then I'm going to be able to produce the things in my life that he always meant for me to produce. So the goal is not to just believe in God, but the goal is to know God, to know him so that he can speak directly into who I am. And so I want to know him. Like, I know that he owns the cattle on a thousand hill. We always hear that, right? I get that. I understand the scriptures. But if you really want to understand God's economy and how we can be a part of his kingdom, you got to know him. And if you know him, he'll guide you and lead you into the rest. And my last thought before we transition today is this. I've had a distinct conviction to always have something in my hand. I have a conviction that there always needs to be something in my hand. Now, I'm going to read you this verse, but I'm going to tell you a short story about Moses. But in Deuteronomy chapter 16, it says this: no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. And each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way that the Lord has blessed you. And so no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Okay, well, what does that mean exactly? So I can tell you this because I'm the pastor, and most of you would know a lot about our lives, even though I don't know everything about your lives, because our lives gets preached and our story gets told, and hopefully it blesses you, right? So I'm going to tell you something that is a very sincere thing from Donna and I. I honestly, guys, I don't think that there's ever been an offering where I'm in the room. It doesn't matter where it is, if it's in our church, if it's at a different church, conferences, or like building some kind of a ministry, or it doesn't matter. I don't think I've ever been somewhere where Donna and I didn't give in the offering. There's never been a moment, because every time an offering is given for the kingdom, I look at Donna and I said, Donna, I know we got $25. You know what I mean? Like, I know we have $50 or $10 or whatever it is. And every time we go, wait a minute, what's in my hand? I remember sitting at a church down the road here, good friends of ours, and Marilyn Hickey. By the way, how many of you know who Marilyn Hickey is? Anybody know who Marilyn Hickey is? One of the great female evangelists. She's almost 90 years old now. She still travels to the Middle East and preaches the gospel. She's the only woman in over 400 years to preach in some of the largest Muslim Islamic mosques in the world. She's one of the only people to be let in there, and she goes in and she just preaches about Jesus and healing, because they believe that Jesus, and they believe that he existed, and they believe in healing. So she just goes in and preaches Jesus and healing, and people come up and they get healed and they find Jesus. I mean, it's incredible. Her last meetings that I was, she was preaching to 40,000 people in Lebanon. In our world, I want you to understand that. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, oh my gosh, we've got to be a part of this. Donna and I didn't go, wow, that's good, I hope your church gives. Donna and I got out our credit card and our little envelope, and we prayed, and I gave money to send Bibles and to help support. There's never been an offering that we haven't given in, because it's our lifestyle. And it's never about the money, because when we were youth pastors back in the day, okay? Now, when I say back in the day, I realize that day is getting farther and farther away. It just hit me this morning. Wow, when I say back in the day, I'm talking about, it's almost history now. It's like, it's ancient history. Back in the day, like 10 years ago. No, back in the day, like 30 years ago. Back in the day when Donna and I were in full-time youth ministry, with honestly a phenomenal ministry. Like, we loved our youth ministry. It just grew, and there's pastors all over the world now that were teenagers in our group. Thousands, thousands, thousands of kids. Like, it was so fun and we loved it. And I think that we made $900 a month full time. And that was not very much even in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't even a lot in the 90s. But I remember, like, every single time, even when we had no money. And when I say no money, like, I remember giving offerings that were $10, and we were happy we could do it. By the way, you know, you get to my age too, you start telling stories like this. I was so poor. You know what I mean? Like, this is not an exaggeration. This is not an exaggeration. Let me tell you what date night was for Donna. This is not a lie. This happened. We had so little money that date night for us on multiple occasions was to go to Burger King when Whoppers were 99 cents. Because for like 4 years, they were trying to bring the Whopper back, and so they were 99 cents. We would go on dates, not exaggerating, with $5. And we would sit... We would sit in Burger King, I would have two Whoppers, and she would have one. and then we would have drinks, and we could walk out of Burger King on date night for $5. But can I tell you, we still gave in every offering that we were able to be a part of. And so today, you know, I think about Moses, and this is where I'm going to wrap up. So I'm going to have Tony come, maybe not the band just yet, but maybe Tony can work his way up. But Moses, there's a story about Moses that happened where God was dealing with Moses in Exodus chapter 4. Moses was feeling bad for himself. He's like, I don't talk very well. I'm not a good speaker. Literally, he's like, I'm not a good speaker. He says, I've got a ton of sin in my life. I've screwed up 100 times. He killed somebody. He was, people hated him. People despised him. People chased him. He had anger problems, and he didn't listen to God very well. And he's like, Lord, I can't lead these people. I am not a leader. I can't do this. I don't know what to do. And the Lord just said in Exodus chapter 4, he said, Moses, well, what do you have in your hand? Like, what do you got in your hand? Moses says, nothing, just a stick, just a staff, like an old dry stick. There's nothing in my hand. Moses, what do you have in your hand? I have a stick. I was like, Moses, you're missing the point. What you think is old and dry and worn out and not worth anything, I can do a miracle with what is in your hand. He said, Moses, throw it on the ground. He throws it on the ground, and God does a miracle with a stick. And the point is that no matter what we have, and the reason why I'm saying this to you, because I've had people come up to me and be like, hey, look, I know that some people will give thousands and thousands of dollars in this offering, but I don't have a lot. And I've said, listen to me. It's about what do you have in your hand. God can take what you have in your hand, and you can be a part of the miracle. Donna and I were a part of the miracle every year. I've been doing this 30 years now. We've been married 28. I've been in ministry 30. And there's never been a moment. Didn't matter if it was $5 or $5,000 or whatever. I just want to be a part of what God's doing. So I think this year's going to be a very special year. And we're going to help a lot of people. And we're going to send a lot of missionaries to nations. And we're going to do a lot of cool things in our city. I have a perfect peace about it. I'm not anxious. I'm not worried about how much people give anymore. I used to be years ago, I would stress out about it. I don't stress out about those things anymore, because you know what? My eye is fixed in the supernatural, and I walk in the natural, and I've learned that He owns everything. And I want you to be a part of the miracle. I do. If this is your house, if this is your church, I would ask you to pray with me right now and ask the Lord what it is that you would want to give this year. And so we're going to take the offering. And again, I want this to feel very natural and normal for everybody, even if you're visiting for maybe the first time. And so I want you to know that. We love you. We're glad you're here. Here's how we're going to do the offering. In your seat, either the right or the left, everybody has a little slot on the side, either on your right or your left. And in that is a little card, and there's an envelope there. And if somebody's already taken it, get one from your neighbor, okay? I was gonna open it up and show you the card, but this is Donna and I, this is our offering, and she already sealed it. She licked it, nasty. So you're gonna take that card. In just a second, I'm gonna have you stand up, and here's how we're gonna do this. We're gonna hold the card. I'm going to pray for us. And then the pastoral staff and some of the team leaders are going to come down here, and they're going to stand in front. We only do this one Sunday a year, 51 weeks a year we don't do it, but 1 week a year we do this. We're going to put buckets up here, and then regardless of whether you're giving today or not, I still want to pray for you. Maybe you need a job. I want to pray for you. I want you to bring an envelope down. I want you to put your name on there and put it in there and just say, I need a job. We're going to pray for your job. Maybe you're not even from the church, but maybe there's something in your family that's going on and you need prayer. Bring your envelope and just say, I need prayer. Because I want to pray for people today. Prayer for you is more important. Like your relationship with Jesus, what's happening inside of you. Because you know what? God's going to accomplish. Come on, are you with me? I'm rapping. God's going to accomplish what God wants to do. But I want to pray for you because He wants to accomplish something in you. Yes. And then he can accomplish something through you. So it's really important today. So everybody, I want everybody to bring an envelope. Even if you're just visiting, you're like, I need prayer today. And my staff is gonna pray for you and lay hands on you, pray for you, and believe with you. So stand to your feet with me, if you wouldn't mind. And I want you to grab either the envelope or the card, and I want everyone to have it in your hand. Again, this is just symbolic right now for everyone that's here today. I want you to have, and again, I realize too, this is what you need to do. When you decide what you're gonna give, you need to give that on the app, on phone. They'll put a QR code up there. It's funny because, like, I have to train myself. There's a few people here that will put checks today. I love it. Thank you for giving checks. But there's everyone under 35, maybe 30, has never written a check. And so, you know, you ask like a 15-year-old what checking is, like your checking account. One time a kid said, so I can check my money. It's the account that I check. And I was like, oh my gosh, help me Jesus. Because they don't even know, because they still have checking accounts even though they don't have checks. But make sure that you get online, get on the app, and that you do it there. And then you can give by check if you want or whatever. But everybody got one in your hand? As you do, I want you to lift it up like this, okay? And the band's gonna come now, because what we're gonna do is we're gonna sing a song as we close together, as you come down. Hold it up in the air and let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I wanna know Jesus. I wanna know the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hill. I wanna know the God who provides for my family and provides for the education and provides for the needs of the family and the children. I wanna know you. Father, as we lift this card up today, this is simply a symbol. First, it's a symbol that says, you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and in you all my needs are met. I pray, Lord, for this offering. I pray that you would bless it, and I pray that you would multiply it, and I pray that we would celebrate all year as things are built and as people are sent and ministries are blessed. I pray that we would celebrate for 12 months what it is that you're doing. Bless Heart for the House this year. And I pray, Lord, that you would put it on every person's heart right now. As we're praying, Lord, I pray that you would speak to people about what they can sow into their church this year to see us do more for the kingdom. I pray that you'd speak to their hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Can everybody say this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for what you've done in my life. Bless the offering. But more importantly, I want to know you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, what you're gonna do, I wanna have my staff come, put the buckets up here. Now, you, your spouse, or you fill this out, and as you do, or maybe you just want prayer, you start to come down, just find somebody down here. They're gonna pray for you. We're gonna put them in the buckets. So I want you to do that right now. If you have your card, you know what you're gonna give. All of you, just start to make your way down to the front. Everyone said amen. And let's just sing a song as we do this morning. God bless you.